This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, what does the future hold after secondary school? Is university still the only path?
This is coming, of course, as the SPM results were just released last week, and a robust conversation ensued about whether a university degree has the same value it used to. So first, we try to answer that very question. And then, what are the questions and uncertainties school leavers face in today's world?
So tell us, do you think a degree is as valuable as it used to be? And what advice do you wish you had given your 17-year-old self? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08. So the roots of our story today actually come from the fact that the results for SPM 2021 were released last Thursday. And I don't know if, well, we spend a lot of time on Twitter because we're always looking for stories for today on Twitter. And SPM 2021 has been trending more or less nonstop since the exams actually happened. And then subsequently, once the results were out, lots and lots of students were tweeting good, bad, mixed feelings about the outcomes. But just to say that there were a total of 407,097 registered candidates. And if you're wondering about the high performers, according to the DG of Education, Datuk Nur Zamani Abdul Hamid, 9,696 candidates scored excellent results. So we're talking A plus, A and A minus in all subjects.
So you mentioned Twitter, and there's been a lot of conversation on Twitter and in social media in general about the realities of being a post-SPM person in today's world, right? And I'll say this, it's not been an easy few years. I think this is a particularly challenging time to come out of school, that time when you're supposed to be looking ahead at your future and hoping for, you know, all your dreams to come true. But you're also being confronted with the fact that our median pay hasn't risen, the fact that the whole world is talking about going into a recession, there was, the pandemic is still a thing. So it really isn't an easy time. And perhaps that's why the conversations that we're seeing from young people circle some very similar points. So I'm just going to read one, I think, that's emblematic of the conversation that we're going to have today. Bananam Angur says, "Sorry, I'm not showing off. This is just real talk. I scored straight A's in SPM, scored 14 in A-levels, graduated my master's degree with second class upper from a UK university. I got a full scholarship. I've been working for 4 years. My salary is still below 3,000 ringgit. I don't have to tell you about the depression and anxiety." The person went on to say that an intern whose dad had connections at the company he worked for was somehow getting paid more than he was, and said that in Malaysia, connections are everything, that academics isn't necessarily just celebrated or appreciated, nor is it a pathway to a successful job that pays you what you deserve to be paid.
Well, look, I mean, if we're going to go have this conversation, we can scale it back to how even your SPM results are not going to get you the openings in your higher education that you would like or that you would want. And that has a lot to do with the existing very entrenched issues in our country. But I think that your point earlier about how this is a particularly fraught time for people who have already emerged from a fraught couple of years leading up to their SPM is especially important, because we talk a lot about, and this is something we've explored a lot on our show, we've discussed not just unemployment, but also underemployment, this idea of the mismatch existing when it comes to what you're qualified to do and the jobs that are actually out there, whether or not you will get a good salary for this thing that you studied 4 years to do, whether it's going to be enough for you to actually have a solid pathway to then go on and stay in this career for a long time. Because I think these really are the questions that people are asking. Like we said, with Bananam Ango, great handle. They're an engineer. So they're working in engineering, which, again, if you think about it as one of the, I don't know, big five of jobs, right, that we would have grown up thinking, yeah, this is going to be the thing that I can do long term. I'm going to be able to earn money. In the last few years, doctor would definitely have been one of them. We've heard so much about the uncertainties of graduating as a doctor in Malaysia. Now we're hearing about engineers. I mean,
Law pupils. So the trifecta of desirable jobs.
Teachers.
Even they are not necessarily reaping the so-called benefits that they were supposed to have after going through this supposed path that they should pursue.
And this is also happening as we're talking about TVET becoming talked about as a preferred option. So a lot of different things going on here, which is why we're asking you, with the release of the SPM results recently, whether you think a degree is as valuable as it used to be. And also, if you could go back in time and you wanted to offer some advice, what advice do you wish you could give your 17-year-old self and that you can offer maybe 17-year-old Malaysians or 17-year-olds listening today? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about the value of a degree is Associate Professor Dr. Sun Janjan from the School of Economics, Finance and Banking at University Utara Malaysia. Jan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi.
Hi. So just to start us off, amidst the tweets by SPM students sharing their results, there were also fresh grads who talked about their struggles to find well-paying jobs despite having, a solid tertiary education, a degree. What does this tell you about the underlying issues that fresh grads are facing at the moment?
Yes, there are actually a lot of intertwined issues here. We can't really disentangle them all and just pinpoint it to just one particular underlying issue. So there are different issues at different levels. So let me just give you a start from this bird's eye view, right at the top, and then we go right down to the individual level and their attendant issues. So at the global level, we have this still ongoing COVID pandemic, so which has already created a lot of havoc in our job market and the economy. And then we have that Ukraine war that's ongoing now as well, affecting commodity and energy and oil prices and spiking this cost of living. And then at our national level, our country level, I think our government, we need to align all these policies regarding our higher education curriculum, the number of universities, foreign labor recruitment, minimum wage law, and then we need to try to attract as much as possible high-end foreign direct investments to create more high-skilled jobs, and then also a corporate and this company law tax rates, because all of this will have repercussions and ripple effects on our job market. And then at the employers' level, employers, you know, they typically want the best worker that they can afford and without compromising their profit margins. And then lastly, at the individual fresh graduates level, well, who doesn't actually want a cushy job with a good pay? But we have to remember, all you have is that university degree, okay, however solid it is. But I can say probably you don't really have any working job, working experience. So, that's the issues that I can see. Yeah.
Have you seen a tangible shift in the perception around higher education and the value that it brings?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because, you see, previously, getting into university or getting a higher degree, a higher education or advanced degree, it is all about getting educated, be a scholar, to be able to think critically, widen our knowledge and worldview. But now, higher education, I think it's perceived in terms of its value for money, return of investment, getting a good job. So, along with this, there's this what we call as this massification of higher education, where university graduates are now like, and you know, as in this production plant analogy, we're being like churned out like factory assembly lines. Yeah. So that's the shift in perceptions, or going on about our higher education right now, I think.
So we were referencing tweets earlier from school leavers and people who have just started work about how maybe a degree hasn't necessarily brought them what they wanted. What are some of the arguments that you've heard against pursuing higher education in Malaysia?
I think it's really a good idea to have a higher education, because with higher education, you have this embodied skills. You know, embodied skills like language skills, and then all these hard skills and soft skills that come along during the time when you're earning our higher education or earning our degrees. So I think it's always a good idea to go ahead and pursue this higher education. Yeah.
You touched on this earlier, the argument that the value of a degree decreases when every other person seems to have one. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, yes. I think definitely the current fabric of our society is actually changing, because I think nowadays it would be really hard-pressed to find a young adult who's not a university graduate, yes? And then... nowadays, the image of universities is no longer that of an ivory tower or a fortress of knowledge or of scholarship. Universities, like I said, universities are now looked upon as training grounds to prepare our future workforces. I think nowadays, a university degree is regarded like an entry ticket to where? Into the interview room. Okay, and beyond that, once you enter the interview room, I believe employers would just weigh in more on a person's attitude, the right attitude, their soft and hard skills. But that doesn't necessarily mean that a university degree has lost its value or its shine, because our education are and should be based on our national education philosophy, that is to mold graduates with holistic, to mold graduates into holistic individuals, you know, intellectually, emotionally, physically, to be as knowledgeable as possible, ethical, competent, responsible, you know, all the good adjectives to contribute to a better society and the country. Yeah, yes, that is the value of a degree, I think.
So if we look at the situation when it comes to graduates and job market, do we currently have a surplus of graduates? What might be the effects of that?
Yes. You see, okay, let me just give you some brief statistics. All right. So as of April this year, our youth unemployment, youth being those aged between 15 to 24 years old, so this includes our SPM holders and all our university or diploma graduates. So our youth unemployment rate is about 12.8%, just slightly below 13%. Okay. And then every year, our universities in Malaysia produce about 5 million graduates every year, okay? And about 40% of our graduates are employed in professional jobs. So all these statistics, they sort of, somehow they give us an illusion that there's a graduate surplus, all right? Meaning more supply of graduates than what the job market can absorb. But I think what's more important is the issue of whether there are enough professional and high-skilled jobs. And how do we ensure we have this enough number of high-skilled jobs? That is to attract these FDIs, high-end and high-value FDIs, foreign direct investments. So these FDIs, high-end FDIs, would come into our country if our country have this overall ecosystem of doing business, good digital landscape, technological infrastructure, political stability, and most of all, we have a job-ready and qualified workforce, high-skilled human capital. Yeah, I think so. So surplus of graduates is not that it's not that serious an issue as compared to the creation of high-skilled jobs, enough high-skilled jobs.
Talk to us about the data on salaries in relation to the level of education attained, and if there's an imbalance between the supply and demand of graduates, could that affect salaries?
From our Department of Statistics, in their latest release, Salaries and Wages Survey Report in July 2021, the average salary of those university graduates are about slightly above 4,000 ringgit. Okay, average monthly salary of university graduates. And the average monthly salary of those with just high school qualification, that means after SPM or after STP, it's just slightly above 2,000 ringgit. Okay, so but just bear in mind that all these average salaries, they have taken into consideration the salary of those with everyone with higher education. Okay, not just the fresh graduates. So if it seems like 4,000 ringgit is really high, that's because we're not just talking about the average salaries of fresh graduates. All right, so I think for freshly minted university graduates, it's really understandable if you have a much lower starting salary in your very first proper job, okay? Because, you know, with almost non-existent work experience in that particular field of the job, yeah. So those are the salaries on the data on salaries that I can provide.
Now, if these current issues persist, right, do you anticipate more students exploring alternative pathways that don't involve university, and how might that alter our economy?
Okay, I think it's always a good idea, like I said, to be more educated rather than less. All right, but this doesn't necessarily mean that those who never have any higher education, it doesn't mean that they are unsuccessful. And I think as long as you know what you want in life and you're passionate enough to pursue it, okay, we can have a desirable career and fruitful life, all right, regardless of how much formal or higher education you have. If you've ever heard of this saying by this famous novelist, Mark Twain, he said, "I never let my schooling interfere with my education." Yes.
What is we have just about I think a minute left. What's your outlook for fresh grads and their employment prospects, particularly in the next couple of years?
Yes. Now this outlook, there is this actually there's this worrying trend of this the onslaught of technological unemployment, you know, where with all these AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, IoT, Internet of Things, digital technologies, cloud technologies, automation and robotics, all these it's predicted to take over a lot of our jobs. So There is actually no easy solutions to this or no easy remedy other than to continuously upskill ourselves in terms of our hard skills, okay, practical skills. I think we cannot afford to stop learning, and we can't really rest on our laurels. And if there is only one takeaway from all this, it's for us to keep on improving on ourselves. I mean, go the extra mile, learn as much as possible while on the job, be proactive. You know, especially graduates, you're still young and energetic. So this is the time when you make preparations and equip yourself for a better job. Yeah.
Jen, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Sun Janjan from the School of Economics, Finance and Banking at University Utara Malaysia, talking to us about the value of a degree, something that's kind of been talked about in light of the SPM results coming out. We're asking you, do you think a degree is as valuable as it used to be? And what advice do you wish you'd given your 17-year-old self? Weigh in and let us know. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're talking today about the uncertain future after secondary school for many school leavers, or everyone these days. But we're focusing on school leavers because, of course, the SPM results were just out last week. So we've been asking you whether you think a degree is as valuable as it used to be, and also what advice you wish you'd given your 17-year-old self. And we have some lovely messages that have come through. Keep them coming. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us, we've got a caller, Tia. Tia, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi. So I was sharing just now that I think my 2 cents on this question is going to be two parts. Okay, the first one is, if possible, please don't rush into anything. I don't like the stigma or the culture that we have to get our diploma at a certain age and then bachelor at a certain age. And then I think it's very common that people expect that we continuously do our higher education. For example, after diploma, you have to straight away pursue into degree, or else this happened. So if possible, I think the best way, after seeing so many graduate, so many students, I'm an educator myself, after seeing this, I think the best way is for you to try to work and at the same time pursue your higher education, be it diploma, bachelor, master, and so on. Based on my experience in my class, it is a very stark difference between those who pursue one certificate after the other. For example, after diploma, you pursue bachelor, compared to those who actually take time, experience work, regardless of maybe you wait tables ke, whatever, cashier ke, apa ke, you can already see very different opinion, different attitude, different everything between these two. Okay, my second opinion is, every semester I would like to start the class with this question. Among other questions, my favorite question would be, why are you here? Why are you taking this course? And you will be surprised that majority of the students will answer, mak saya suruh, parents saya advise, akak abang saya ambil this course, so I am taking the same path. I understand if these students were from my era, because during my time, I honestly have no one to look up to unless my parents advise, teachers, and mostly what are my friends doing. So if we got the same grades, usually we will go, kau ambil apa, aku pun ambil yang ni juga. Peer, I think, also main contributor during my time. But what I feel disappointed was because these students are in younger generation, so they should... they have the resources, so I feel like they are not using this opportunity to at least do some research on the area that interests them, or the area that they are about to pursue. So let's say if their parents are suggesting them this, and they have all the resources, they can look up on the internet, look on LinkedIn, JobStreet, what are the requirements for this particular job, what are the expected salary, what certificates do you need for this, and all the other information are easily available. So it's very disappointing knowing that these students are taking this particular course, and it's the same across all the other faculty. I'm not just talking about my faculty, but if I ask my other friends, they will be getting the same answer from the student as well. So my advice would be, first, don't rush anything. You can get both experience and education at the same time. And second is, take the opportunity of all the resources that you have right now, and look into what will be beneficial for you in the long run. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tia. That's such great advice. You know, I think that there's just so much in there to unpack.
But I was nodding along vigorously.
Yes. But I basically entirely agree with all of it. I do think that we should hustle along to our next guest. But please let us know, what do you think? Is a degree still as valuable as it used to be? And if there were advice that you wish you could you could give or you had given your 17-year-old self, what would it be? Let us know. And in the meantime, we are now going to be talking about, I guess, the emotional and mental, what's the word I'm looking for? Almost burden, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it.
Yeah, of trying to navigate a transition to adulthood when, you know, we're living in a space of so much uncertainty. And talking to us about that is Lavendan Sivashanmugam, a core team member at Kaoketa, which is a youth-led initiative with the goal of destigmatizing mental health issues and counseling among secondary school students. Lavin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, happy to be here and talk to all of you.
So we're talking to you today because, of course, the SPM results came out last week. What are some of the main reactions that you're hearing? Are people relieved? Are they disappointed? What's going on?
I think one thing that we've definitely noticed is, of course, I think everyone might have noticed this, is this huge like deluge of people posting their results online, just being very happy about it and, like, you know, straight A's, which is great to see, of course. But at the same time, there is the other side of it that we don't see. We don't see all the kids who worked very, very hard their entire like school year, but they did not get what they wanted. They got, like, you know, just not what they wanted. And that is, of course, the other side of it, where you see so many kids who, I mean, I think we are all like, sometimes we collectively forget that we experienced a severe natural disaster just a few months ago. And like so many of, like, for example, me and some friends, we worked with this NGO called Solidarity Pendidikan to get books and school supplies to this school in Pahang. And here's the thing, they lost almost everything. They needed school bags, pencils and books, so on and so forth. And the thought that what happened to all of those kids, you know, because they had no supplies, nothing, everything just got washed away due to the floods, and we don't seem to be seeing what happened to them, which I expect, like, sadly, these aren't the good results that we're seeing posted online. So yeah, I think just as much like, as we see all these things, we need to take into consideration what we're not seeing as well. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
In your experience, what are some of the main concerns that young people have as they make this transition out of secondary school?
And of course, the typical, oh God, what am I going to do after high school? Like, oh God, like, what do I do? This is like adulthood, so on and so forth. But one thing that's interesting that I've seen is also the concern around scholarships. Because of course, now we are in scholarship application season. Everyone's like rushing to write essays and upload resumes, so on and so forth. And one thing that I've seen a lot of kids worried about is the competition when it comes to scholarships, because we're seeing quite a high number of straight A's, which means the value of having straight A's is going to reduce in the eyes of the scholarship managers, right? And at the same time, as years go on, I mean, personally, what I see is that the requirements are increasing. They expect more and more. Like, I've seen kids as young as 15 starting volunteering opportunities to pack up their resume, sorry. At 15, I wasn't thinking about any of that stuff. I was just like wanting to get through like PT3 and SPM, but these kids have already thought so far ahead. So I wonder, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I can't really tell. Yeah.
You mentioned natural disasters earlier, but also, I mean, in general, how has the pandemic and our current kind of economic struggles and setup shaped the worries that we're seeing?
That's a great question, because this is something I've also been wondering, that I'd like to just have like a discussion about it, is that you might see in all of the recent articles about almost 10,000 students getting straight A's, is there's this kind of narrative that it's a celebration, that, oh, this is good, this is a good thing, like, lots of students are getting straight A's. But if you look at the fine print, technically, according to our grade point average, overall, the grades have gotten slightly worse. As in, they are overall, the grades have gotten lower. And I wonder if that's because of the horrible learning loss that we saw during COVID-19, when during the throes of it, right? Which is obviously worsened by the fact that there's such a large digital divide between these economic classes. I mean, we had to fundraise laptops for kids. And the fact is, for every one laptop, like for every one like student who was lucky enough to get a laptop, we have another 10 who weren't as lucky. So what happened to that other 10? Can you imagine the kind of learning loss, like the long-term effects that of what we're seeing? And I think it's my biggest fear is that when it comes to averages and statistics, they tend to flatten out in the next few years. So now we're seeing a drop in overall performance, which is proof that something is wrong, but we don't seem to be focusing on it, about the learning loss. And yeah, so my fear is, what if we just forget about it in the next few years because the statistics start to average out? Yeah, concern.
You touched on the fear of, or rather the wariness of impending adulthood earlier. How worried are students at the SPM level about the uncertainties around future job prospects? Is this something that's already weighing on them?
Oh, definitely. Like, you've seen kids, like, before they choose whether they want to go into the art stream or the science stream, you have their parents and their teachers and, like, their peers telling them that, oh, if you get science stream, it's easy to get a job because everyone wants like engineers and doctors and so on and so forth. And oh, if you go into the account stream, if you do business, then like you get like lots of money because you end up managing the doctors and the engineers. But if you just do like fully art, like visual art or like literature or things like that, oh, you're not going to make a lot of money. And it's obvious that the concern for finances is instilled into these kids at such a young age. So I would say yes, is definitely a concern with all, I mean, I feel like a lot of these kids grow up with these scare stories of like, or you go to the office and then they tell you, oh, you can't get this promotion because you didn't get this grade for SPM and stuff like that. So I think a lot of them grow up with that fear inherently. Yeah.
You mentioned this earlier, this issue of scholarships, but I think in general, right, getting into university can be a very high pressure situation. What is the impact of this on mental well-being, especially since I think it really all comes framed in a context of do or die?
In short, I would say it's terrible. It's terrible. It's horrible. More colloquially, I would say it sucks really bad for a lot of these students, because the fact is, just like you said, when we're talking about the value of a degree, right? I think a degree has been valued so much that it's kind of like the bottom line. And if everyone, like if you don't have a degree, you're immediately like just cut out. Or at least those are the kind of like scary stories that our kids are raised with, that I was raised with. And just getting into university itself is considered like such a hurdle, especially so when it comes to like certain courses. Like certain core courses, like certain like, oh, I really want to study law, I want to study engineering, I want to do medicine. And these kids know that these are high competition courses. And at the same time, it's tough to talk about, but there is also the aspect of race. And I think that kind of puts, not only is there a pressure on these kids to perform beyond what they are like they are capable of without burning out, but at the same time, I think it puts on them a kind of like pessimism as well, where they think it doesn't matter how hard I try, there's some things I won't be able to achieve. And all of these things eventually result in a huge uptick of mental health problems among teenagers overall that we can see very clearly these days. Yeah.
So it's actually a lived reality that's a lot more complex, right? With the pathways of career, home ownership, financial management, that's all of which is increasingly more unclear. In all of this, what's the actual role that parents and adults can play to support young people through this transition?
I think what we've seen from working with parents before, like we've had workshops with parents before, is I think parents need to strike a balance between giving your child space to grow and learn, make mistakes and explore things in their own time while you act as the safety net. But at the same time, you need, as a parent, to be engaged in their school life. Like, go to PIBG meetings, listen to your child's complaints, pay attention to, like, how they react when they come back from school. Are they going to school? Are there problems in school? Try to be an engaged parent and basically advocate for your child in a way that they perhaps couldn't advocate for themselves. They do not have the agency to do so. And I think a lot of parents struggle with that. They think, oh, I want to give them the freedom to explore, and they just completely ignore their child and just let the child do whatever they want, and they don't pay attention to like the obvious calls for help that exist, that they're obviously showing. or they become like helicopter parents and they don't give them the space to make mistakes and they don't act as a safety net, just there to punish. So I think our parents struggle with that balance. And I wish like more parents like struck that balance now. One a good example, just want to add a small example, is one thing that always gets me choked up is, you guys know the story of Ayn makes schools a safer place, obviously, is the fact that her father is really supportive. Like really supportive. And of course, like the spotlight is on her. Like she's advocating for herself, but every step of the way, he ensures that she's safe, and then like she is like he makes sure that she's able to advocate for herself properly. So I wish more parents were also like that. And I think we would see a lot more Ayns, a lot more like student activists out there if more parents were like that as well.
Lavin, is there anything you'd like to leave us with as a final thought?
If you're a parent, whatever that I just said, but if you're a student listening to this, I can only say that I'm 21 now. It's been 4 years since I got my SPM results. And I can tell you, it still kind of sucks. So like, take your time to enjoy yourself while you can, because it's just as difficult. And I am no closer to figuring it all out as you are. So if you're lost, I get it. I really do. But it's okay. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. Lavin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, I guess.
That was Lavendran Sivashanmugam, core team member at Kau Oketa, weighing in on navigating the emotional and mental uncertainties, really, of transitioning to adulthood after secondary school. We've been asking you for your thoughts, and I think we have time to squeeze in some messages.
V says, not everyone will know their calling or ambition from the start. The degree is just a pass to get your first job. Moving along your career, you'll navigate and learn what works best for you, or even change course. So if you found your passion, congratulations. If you haven't, don't worry, you're not alone.
I would add on to that, that if you never find your passion and you instead define work according to what you want to get out of it, whether it's work-life balance, whether it's just a really great salary, whatever that might mean, that's fine too. I think passion isn't the only thing.
No, I completely agree. I think that's about all the time we have for messages.
Okay. So I just wanted to read this from Anonymous. I'm just squeeze it in. The degree isn't just about a piece of paper. It is about training mindset, attitude, how we think, how to work with people, learning under minimal supervision. It's all about soft skills. It's not about hard skill nor knowledge that is only the important thing. And I agree with that, actually. And I also think that that's something you can get from work experience. So again, as long as you go in with a learner's mindset, I think a lot can be done. Keep those thoughts coming. We'll return for your messages because there are a lot of them coming in. Basically, is a degree as valuable as it used to be? And what advice do you wish you'd given your 17-year-old self? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. Keep it here. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.